Welcome, Siouxland Catholic Radio listeners, to Faith in Action, a program locally produced by Channel 88.1 FM. It airs every Monday at 9 a.m., replays every Saturday at 7 p.m., and you can also find previous programs at fhcradio.com. Click on Listen Live and Podcasts. I'm Joanne Fox. I'm a Siouxland Catholic Radio board member, and I'm your host for today's show. Thanks so much for joining us. Well, we're going to try and keep a straight face with this interview today, because in the studio with me is a longtime buddy and compadre in the media, Jim Wharton. He is here not because he is running for anything.
No, did that once. You did that never once. Again.
Right. Yeah. But we're going to talk a lot about our Catholic faith and growing up Catholic. So, Jim, thanks so much for joining me. Welcome to the studio.
Well, my pleasure, Joanne. Always good to talk to you. You know, this is one of the few interviews I do where we spend like 45 minutes in a pre-interview where we talked about everything. So let's bring some of that stuff up. We'll have a good time. It's always good to see you.
You too.
Thank you.
So, Jim, you've been in this community just about forever, but why don't you tell the listeners a little bit about where you grew up, where you went to school, and what brought you to Sioux City?
Yeah, I love telling that story because I'm very proud of where I came from. I'm an Illinois native. Grew up in a little town called Nokomis, Illinois, a town of about 2,500 people, just kind of a small rural Illinois town. And Nokomis, you know where Nokomis comes from?
It's from the Native American.
By the shores of Gitche-Gumee, by the shining big sea waters, stood the wigwam of Nokomis, daughter of the moon.
There we go.
Song of Hiawatha.
Right.
Okay. So Native American influence back there, and had a great life. In fact, not to detract from anything or distract us here, but I just got back from my home in Illinois, and I'll tell you why. I had a good friend back there who was my next-door neighbor. He had cerebral palsy. His name was Gene Schneider. I loved him. Never walked a day in his life. Mom and Dad adopted him. Gene was one of the brightest guys I've ever met. And I kind of lost track of him. You know, when I was back home in Illinois growing up, Gene was a year or two ahead of me in high school. And he finished high school. I had to have help, obviously, because Gene was, with a cerebral palsy, was confined to a wheelchair, very spastic in his movements, hard to understand. But you're around someone. It's almost like Father Markunas out at St. Casimir's. I grew up next door to a Lithuanian lady, and I could speak it after a while. And even if it was Pig English or Lithuanian English, I could understand Father Markunas, mm-hmm. You know, and that's just the way it was back then. But anyway, I understood Gene very well. But he had a scholarship to go to Southern Illinois University, and he was so excited because this would be the first time he'd ever had some independence. But he needed an aide. He needed 24/7. He couldn't dress himself, bathe himself, feed himself. And his mom and dad, once again, who adopted him, knowing full well the challenges this young man would face in life, they found an aide to help him. This would have been back in early 70s. And, of course, back then there were no safety net programs, no social programs to help these people. Found somebody to go to school with him. He was so excited, had everything packed up. The day before he was to move to Southern Illinois University, the aide called and canceled. Mm. Never made it, and when his mom and dad died, he passed from one nursing home to another. And then and somebody tipped me off back home. He was not doing well. So I went back to see him, and he was in hospice care at that time. And it was so good to see him. And he was pretty much non-conversant. And, it bothered me that so many years had passed that I hadn't seen him. And when I left, you know, I told him the whole thing. Gene, I love you. I mean, you're like a brother. You're a great guy. And the only thing I understand the whole 3 or 4 hours I spent in that hospital room was, I love you back. And he said that. And then he died about 3 days later. But anyway, I talk about my coming from Illinois. I always say I went to a Catholic school in Nokomis, Illinois, St. Louis Catholic School. I lived right across the street from it. I went back to school for the first time in 50-some years. They took me through the school. And you know what, Joanne? My grade school, the Catholic school in Illinois there, still to this day means more to me than my high school years, because we had the school sisters of Notre Dame. And, you know, my brother went before me, 10 years older than me. He did not leave a good taste in the mouth of those sisters for any boy named Wharton, you know. And so I dealt with a little bit of that kind of residual, you know. But anyway, I loved going back there, and I loved my school and everything. So nonetheless, we talked about, you know, I had a love for radio when I was in grade school, wanted to be in radio. Got a job when I was 14 at a station in Taylorville, Illinois, doing announcing and everything. Went to school at Southern Illinois University with a degree in journalism. And back then, Joanne, in radio anyway, there was no internet or anything. There was one magazine called Broadcasting. The back page of the magazine was one ads, but you never knew who had placed them because they were always blind box numbers. And so I remember, you know, when I was a senior in college, sending out piles and stacks of resumes, never knowing where they were going. Nonetheless, when I was in my final year of undergraduate school, I got a job interning at KMOX in St. Louis. Well, KMOX is a 50,000-channel radio station that gets out to 47 states and Canada at night. Flagship of the St. Louis Cardinals, which, you know, to me is like heaven.
Pretty much.
Take me now, Jesus.
Yeah.
And so after my internship, they hired me. So I was the low guy on the totem pole, KMOX in St. Louis, CBS station. And could not go on the air, but I was a news writer because I wasn't a member of this Writers Guild. You had to be a union member to be on air. And I was too young. I had to do an apprenticeship. But anyway, I was making $100 a week in St. Louis at this major CBS-owned station, big city. $100 a week, but it was costing me $17 a week to park my car.
Oh, Lord.
And my wife, Bev, was still in undergraduate school. I couldn't make it work, so I went to take a job in Illinois, literally in a cornfield. Opened the back door, stepped out into a cornfield where I could make a little bit more money, believe it or not. And then 3 years after I was in Illinois working, I get a call from Dick Michaels. No, I don't know if any of people, if you're my vintage, you'll remember Dick, because he was like the radio newsman of Sioux City. Dick was great. About 5'4".
Yeah.
But a voice like, boom, you know, great radio guy. And Dick called me and said, "Hey, Jim, this is Dick Michaels in Sioux City. Are you interested in coming to Sioux City yet?" And I said, "No." I said, What are you talking? Sioux City, where in the heck's that? I've never been to Sioux City. I've never been to Iowa. He goes, "Well, I got your resume." And I said, "My resume? I haven't sent out a resume in 3 years. He says, "That's right, and I kept yours." And he says, "The reason I kept yours," he says, "I'm from St. Louis." And he said, "And I saw on your resume you worked at KMOX. I figure if you worked at KMOX, you must be halfway decent. So I kept it." And so I came out and got the job.
Oh, that's an astonishing story.
Yeah, and you know, Bev couldn't find work for the first month or two.
Mm-hmm.
And she was, you don't say it now, she was a Kelly girl.
Oh,
remember
my
that?
Goodness, I do, yes.
Yeah, Western girl, Kelly girls, mm-hmm. all that stuff, you know. And then she finally obviously found work at Iowa Public Service Company. But that's how we made it out to Sioux City in 1976. And really no inclination to stay long. Because, you know, in my business, bigger markets equate better opportunities. But, you know, we kind of sank some roots here in Bev's career. She had a great career at Iowa Public Service Company. Then she worked for the Catholic schools for a while during the interim when she left Mid-American Energy. And then, obviously, her time is at Briarcliff as president there for 15 years. And our roots are so deep now, you know, with a daughter here as a dentist and grandkids here. It's obviously home. And I tell you, I don't know how this stuff works sometimes. It's got to be more than luck, mm-hmm. you know, and here we are. Here we are how many years later, you know, 40-some years later, here we are in Sioux City, and it's our home. We love it. So that's kind of roundabout how we got here.
And, you know, what's interesting is now that you have stepped away and kind of retired from the business world, mm-hmm. You write articles for the Sioux City Journal. And I can't tell you how many times I've read the articles, and they somehow reflect your Catholic faith. And especially the one you just shared with the listeners about Jean. And when I read that one, I thought to myself, you know what? This speaks so highly of the environment you were raised in, that your parents took that young man under their wings and made him a friend. I mean, it doesn't get much more Catholic than that, I don't think.
Yeah, and you know, it's when you have your when you have parents like I did, you know, that you're talking about the story about Duane, had a terrible life. His mom left when he was a baby. His dad had challenges, and he was my playmate. He was my partner on at the Catholic school. We played on the basketball court right across. He lived right next to us. And so many times when mom would get on the front porch, say, hey, time for supper, and said, Duane, you come too. And to me, I never gave it a second thought. I didn't think, boy, my mom and dad are nice people for doing this. It was just kind of expected. You know, you be kind. A little kindness goes a long way. And then to have him, when I saw him back when I was back in Illinois, see Gene, tell me that, Jim, you know, I need to tell you something. He says, I can never begin to thank you enough for your mom and dad, because if I hadn't been at their house eating with you, I probably wouldn't have had anything to eat that day. See, I didn't know that. I didn't know that. Because it, once again, for my mom and dad, it was just the right thing to do, and I never thought they were going out of their way. You know, and then once again, as it comes full circle, when my mom dies, Duane owns a restaurant in there in Nokomis, and he comes to my mom's funeral and says, you know, for what your mom and dad did for me, he goes, don't you worry about your dad. I'll make sure he's got something every day. I mean, isn't that, those are wonderful stories. And my, you know, my dad was a convert. And typically everybody says they make the best Catholics, you know, the converts. And my dad was baptized in a hospital bed in Belgium after he was wounded in the Battle of the Bulge. And my dad is my role model. I mean, he lived a life, and not to say my mom did. My mom, you know, my mom's Polish. She's a little tougher than my dad. My dad was emotional like I am, and I leaned on my dad more than my mother. But I knew my mom was there for other things. She was doing other things that I didn't know about, like this Duane thing. Mm-hmm. You know, taking, giving him clothes, feeding him, and all that stuff. I didn't know that was going on. That was my mom doing that. But you know, the whole Catholic identity that I grew up with, you know, was typically, it was part of us. It was just part of the way we did things.
Yeah, and when you mentioned that, you know, role model thing. When I got War Eagle Humanitarian Award, and they asked me to talk about, you know, what positioned me that I got this, and it was because I had done The Miracle Worker out mm-hmm. at the community theater, and I had cultivated a relationship with the Iowa State School for the Blind and the same, you know, hearing impaired folks, and so we made that available. We had translators come in, and we actually had an individual on stage that would follow the actors around and do hand signals. And I was asked, you know, where in the world I got that idea, and I said, I don't know, it just came to me. And I recalled, you know, my dad, he worked for Wholesome Baking Company in Sioux City, and there was an individual who worked with him who was Jewish, and he died unexpectedly. Now, we're Catholic, you know, with a big capital C. And I didn't think twice of it. Dad said, you know, I'm going to go to the funeral or whatever it is they're going to. And I remember after that getting so much criticism, Dad told me, from friends, coworkers, because Catholics didn't go to that kind of thing. And Dad said, yeah, I put on the little beanie, and he said, I sat there, and he said, it was really fascinating. And he said, I just felt it was important that I was there for my coworker. And I thought to myself, you know what, that says it all. And I can remember Dad talking about how astonished he was that people criticized him for it. And I, again, thought, well, really, but isn't this what we do, you know? We're supposed to be there for human beings at life-altering moments. And so I shared that, and I had people come up to me later and talk about, you know, that whole, this is just what you do. You don't think twice about it. And that really positioned me for a lot of the stuff I did in my life, is that I just kind of remember Dad going, it was the right thing to do.
Yeah, that's the way we thought, wasn't it? I mean, That's just, to me, it was natural behavior. Now it sticks out.
It does.
Doesn't it?
It does.
And that's too bad.
It is.
When these random acts of kindness show up, you go, whoa, you know, it used to be we did that often.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, that's a little troublesome to think about that because, you know, I still remember my dad when John Kennedy was assassinated, November 22nd, 1963. It was my 11th birthday. I can still remember what I got for gifts that day, believe it or not, because that day won't go away for me.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was my birthday. I got a paint-by-numbers set with the rocks you put on the thing, you know, put the glue on and throw the colored rocks
yes,
on it.
Yes, that dates us.
Mom and Dad thought so well of that, they hung it in the basement bathroom, which nobody would go to because it was so scuzzy. But anyway, I still remember my dad telling me, and it bothered me so much. He walked into a restaurant that day in Nokomis, and a bunch of guys were sitting there, and as he walked by, one of the guys said, they finally killed that damn Catholic. And it bothered my dad to no end. I wish he hadn't told me that, but he did, because I still think of that. You know, now you see it all the time, people with these gutless remarks and insults and that sort of thing. Back then, it stood out like a sore thumb. But, you know, those types of things. And I think it just made my dad a little more resolved in his faith that, you know, need to pray for folks like that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's kind of, again, you know, my mom wasn't quite the same level as Dad. It's just, you know, both of them were Polish. All four of my grandparents were Polish. We lived around a bunch of Lithuanians. And I never heard my parents call anybody, you know.
Yeah.
Slang names. I'm not going to even say them on the air,
yeah.
But that I heard other people call. And one of the things I remember more than anything is my grandmother, my maternal grandmother, lived with us, and she spoke very little English, but she was a hoot and a holler. And she had a delightful sense of humor, as did my dad, my mother not so much. But one of the things I remember Mom and Grandma talking about was they lived, if you live here in Siouxland and you come off the viaduct going east, as you get ready to go on transit, they lived at the bottom there before the Floyd River. And there were railroad tracks there. And Mom talked about it was not unusual to have this knocking at the door, and it would be a hobo from the railroad.
Oh.
And Grandma always made some soup or something and gave him some bread and then gave him something to eat. And I said, Mom, my gosh, weren't you ever frightened? I mean, you don't know who these men are. And she said, no, we just did it. Again, you know, those are things that position us for where we are in our lives today, I think, is growing up Catholic, that was expected.
I do, too. And you can see it in the way your kids turn out, I think. You know, it's probably a good indicator whether or not you've done a good job. And I know my mom and dad were very proud of all of us. And, you know, I talk about my mom. Your mom would sound like the same thing, kind of a tough Polish woman.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what my mom was, too. But then I also stop and think, too, when my mom was a little girl, one of seven, lived in a little town in Illinois called Pena. It was a rail yard terminal where they'd change rail crews, a big coal mining area of Illinois. When the train stopped to change crews, her brothers would hoist her up into a coal car, and she'd be throwing coal off the side as fast as she could, and they'd be collecting it so they had something to heat their house, you know? And so I'm thinking about that, too. You know, there were a lot of things that happened then, Joanne, back when you're growing up during that time, that we have no appreciation of today. Believe me, you think it's tough now. How would you know, at least you've got something to eat every day, and a lot of people don't. And to that, you know, back then, and to it brings us to today, where we're getting in kind of in the same situation. You know, we still have people that are hungry, people that have no place to live, kids that go to school, you know, with the same clothes they've worn for a week and all that sort of stuff. There's still a lot of work to be done, I guess, is what I'm saying. And it takes dedicated people, faithful people to do some of that stuff.
That's the truth, too. And, you know, growing up Catholic, that was kind of just instilled at you. And like we've said several times here, it was just expected of you to reach out and help somebody else that you saw in need immediately. And Yeah, you see it in this country when we have the great big, like, hurricanes or tornadoes, and people come off the bench immediately, and that kind of gives you some hope for the future. But the rest of the time, when everything seems to be going well, it doesn't seem to have the same drive as the response that's needed immediately. And I don't know how one turns that around.
I don't either. I guess it starts in your own home. You know, you got to figure out a way to set the right course for your kids and all of that sort of thing. And I'm always a guy, my glass is half full. You know, I'm trying to figure out, you know, how to fill it up a little bit more, I guess, is kind of where I'm at. But, everything I've done and any successes that I may have had in our family, you know, it's got a lot to do with faith. You know, we talked about, there's been a terrible car accident in 2016. Shouldn't have survived that, you know. That last December was in the hospital, really sick with COVID. Boy, I tell you what, it was a close call. Here I am, you know. So I got some stuff to do yet. I'm still trying to figure out what it is, you know. But I'll find out. I'll figure out what it is. Maybe this is it. I don't know. You know, talking to people today, maybe light bulb pops or something. You just never know. You never know when you might have an impact on someone. So.
Well,
keep pushing along.
That's the power of radio, I think. And I've talked to other people about this, too. Of course, I spent my entire career practically in the print media of some sort.
You're an ink-stained wretch.
I am. I got printer's ink in my blood.
You know, not to change the subject, but may I?
May you. Go ahead.
Woody Gottberg, our friend, Woody, news director at KSEJ. Woody had something on Facebook the other day about teletype machines, United Press, UPI teletype machines, and the problem changing the ribbons on those things.
Yes.
The spools, remember, Joanne?
Oh, yes.
And nobody wanted to do it. And when I'd come in on Monday morning, I remember at the radio station, the thing had run out, the ink had run out probably Friday night. And, I mean, you had to be able to read Braille to read that teletype coming across because nobody wanted to change that thing because you'd have ink on your face everywhere. They were so messy. But nonetheless, ink-stained wretch, that's what I was thinking. That's the only, and when you're radio, that's the only ink you ever ran into, was changing those teletypes. I still remember that. By the way, I saved wire copy from when Reagan was shot. I have wire copy from the Iranian hostage thing. Gave it all to the Sioux City Museum. Actually, UPI on the yellow paper teletype.
Yes, the yellow paper with the blue ink.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, I gave it to the museum. Has all that stuff. I gave it to them. Someday that'll mean something to someone.
Yeah, I have given some stuff to the museum as well. I still hang on to some of the stories that Catholic News Service distributed through their wire service on the yellow, because it resonates with me. But yeah, I've given stuff to the museum as well, because I think to myself, my children, when I die, will look at this and go, I don't know what it is. Do you know what it is? Just throw it in the garbage. And so I thought, at least it's down there. Who knows in 20 years?
Yeah.
Somebody is doing some research for something.
That's what I'm thinking. I thought the same thing because, you know, my first inclination is nobody's going to care about that. But you know what? If my grandfather or my dad would have saved a copy of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch from when World War II started or ended, I'd love to have that. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, that sort of thing. So, yeah, but I've cleaned up a lot of that stuff. I've even got rid of a lot of my baseball stuff because Bev says it's clutter.
Hoarder.
Hoarder. I'm sorry, we're just getting all, but you know, my mom, being the woman that she was, when we moved, we bought a new house in Nokomis. The house was literally three houses from where we were moving. It was right, you know, you just walk there, it was so close. But she didn't want to move all my, you know, air hyphens here, junk.
Yeah.
And I had shoe boxes full of baseball cards, and I'm going to be 69 here in a month or so, and so I had Mickey Mantle, Willie Mays, all these rookie cards. You know what my mom did with them? She threw them down the cistern, threw them down the well, dumped them, because she didn't want to move them three houses down. Not only did that, she dumped my sister's wedding dress.
Oh.
No, that was my mom. a tough,
we don't
tough
need
woman.
This.
It's really, and I thought, oh my gosh, I'd like to pop the lid on that cistern, because if somehow any of that stuff saved, you know, I'd be worth a ton today.
Antiques Roadshow.
Oh, I had all that stuff, Joanne, and it was just, you know, it was, you know, important to me. But you know, when you're that age, yeah, Mom, you know best, you know,
yeah,
that kind of thing. So.
Yeah.
Oh, well, but you can tell it still bothers me.
As it should.
Yeah.
As it should. When my mom passed away, and then we had to have an auction, a two-day auction, because she saved everything, Depression woman. And I'm walking around kind of looking at the tables, and I see a box. And I thought, that looks like the box my wedding dress should be in. And I popped it open, and it was. And so for a long time, I blamed Dean, my husband, for putting my wedding dress out. And I took it away the first day and hid it in the house. And the next day I came out, and there it was again. So I blamed him again, and he insisted that it wasn't him. But listeners who know my husband would not be surprised if it was him.
That's funny. Yeah.
So we need to take a short break,
sure,
as we do for this show, to give a shout out to our underwriters and our supporters and all those people that think highly of us. But please, listeners, you need to stay tuned. You think you've heard stories? We have a lot more stories. Jim Wharton and I'm Joanne Fox. I'm the host of Faith in Action. But please stay tuned, because we will be right back.